voted number one show on ESPN.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final hour of the big show. Not just the big show, the number one rated show in Houston because... well,
according to the voters,
voted number one show on ESPN.
And there's not a lie in that statement.
I sure hope we get a new voiceover guy soon.
Why?
That voice there was a little too game show hosty.
I don't know. He sounded pretty sexy
really
to me.
Was forced.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sounded pretty hot.
If that dude had a beard, his voice, his bass might come down a little bit.
I don't know.
Bring it from
I don't
loins.
Know what a beard would have to do with how he talks, but
oh,
all right.
It can definitely add kind of that sound quality.
Can it
the
change?
Richness. It enriches the voice.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
take
you know.
Your word for it.
All right.
I had a guy tell me that somebody texted the show and said Christian Kirk's going to be fine. Comparing him to Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr., that they're 5'11". Well.
There's a big difference between fine and, one, the best receiver in the game, and, two, great.
Some of the best hands ever.
Antonio Brown's the best damn receiver in the game along with Julio Jones.
And Odell Beckham Jr.
And OBJ is right up there in the top
five. May have some of the best hands, like ability to catch the ball
with one hand.
Anyone in the business.
No question. But I will say this. I disagreed with you on Kirk just simply because with his speed alone, he will be a return guy somewhere in the NFL. But I think that he can still
be. He's dynamic.
Yeah.
He definitely is dynamic.
Well put. Yeah, he's dynamic enough to be in someone's offense. But and also in their return game. So I think he'll play on Sundays.
Okay.
Mike wants to get in here and talk about Aggies. Mike, what's up?
Hey, how are you doing?
Get him. What's up, man?
Hey, I wanted to say a couple things. Number one, I agree with you. A 10-year contract just seems a little bit crazy. But at the same time, sometimes when you want to make that step to the next level, you got to take a chance and go a little further than maybe you've ever done before to try to get to that next level. And then your point, I'm not sure how much Aggie football you actually watch, but to say name me guys off of there and then you take away the three biggest names on the team, I mean, that's like saying, okay, name me three guys on Oklahoma's team that are not named Baker Mayfield and I don't know anybody else. I don't really give a damn about anybody on Oklahoma. But to me, the biggest problem that Kevin Sumlin has had at A&M is he has not coached up talent very well. He has brought plenty of talent in, but it hasn't been used very well. He doesn't seem like he coaches against his opponent to find out what their weakness is and then try to expose it. He just seems like he kind of rolls the ball out there and okay, you guys go do what you do, but we're not going to really try to do something to scheme against somebody, I guess is the best way to put it.
All right, I mean, fair point about the team. Yeah, fair point about the names and stuff. But the problem is you're talking about a team that's in this market, that's a top-tier team in the market. We're not in the Oklahoma market, so I would expect Joel to be able to name that. But last year, a lot of folks that watched that team could have named Travion Williams, who is also on the team this year. You just don't know. Ricky Seals-Jones, Trevor Knight was on the team, mm-hmm. Jake Hubenak was on the team. And if I would have taken those away, you still could have named Ricky Seals-Jones, Travion Williams, Keith Ford. So
the simple
Speedy
point
Noyle,
was there's more notoriety.
Christian Kirk
in terms
was on the
of,
team
like, name recognition. That was
because
point.
The product was better. Right. Yeah, there were a lot more guys that I felt like were better players than you're seeing on a day in and day out basis on this team now.
Yeah, he was making a couple. The point I was trying to make about just the fact from a recruiting standpoint, but didn't translate to the field. But here's the other thing: two other things that responses to what he mentioned. One, to the 10-year deal. The thing that we're not factoring into this in just hearing his call that struck me is, you know, there are agents involved too. And when the agent's involved, you don't think for a second, they're like, look, you're going to have to go farther than 5 or 6 years if you're going to want to pry away a guy from Florida State who is a lifelong Florida State guy who planned on spending the rest of his career at Florida State. If you want him to get there and get there quickly and be your guy and give up on Florida State and take that big leap of faith, you're going to have to give him more security. We're going to have to make sure that this is going to be his last stop. They're going to push those kind of things. To his other point, the answer that I would give him is, in terms of it not translating onto the field, the one thing that you can't say from that standpoint is that they didn't try everything, because obviously Kevin Sumlin had a budget to go get whoever, whatever, for whatever coaching job he needed to get done. So he couldn't do it, or if you're saying he couldn't do it, but he went out and got Noel Mazzone for the offense. He went out and got LSU's defensive coordinator for the defense. He went out and paid like $1 million a year for each guy. So he had the money. If there, just like we said with Mike D'Antoni, if there's something that's a shortcoming of yours that you don't do well, he had a pretty big pot to go to try and get someone that could fill in and his shortcomings and do something that he didn't do well better.
Okay. All right. I mean,
yeah.
He's had everything in his favor. Kevin Sumlin should have been more successful, I think, is the bottom line to me.
And I don't disagree with that.
He should have been more successful, because you're right. They gave him the opportunity to go pick your coordinator. He had to fire him. He had the chance. He went out and got two really big names to be his OC and his DC. Mm-hmm. It just hasn't translated. And I think that goes back to the talent on the field. Because does this kind of year make Kevin Sumlin a bad coach? Does it make Noel Mazzone and John Chavis bad coaches? I don't think so. I think those guys are still good. I just think that the talent that they have recruited isn't as good as the talent they've had in the past.
Okay, fair enough. Keith wants to get in here. What's up?
Keith. Hi, how you doing?
Good, you?
All right. Hey, this is something we was going around at work today about the rookie West Coast NFL coaches, Shanahan, McVay, Denver, fans in Denver. Out of those, who's the most likely to succeed as far as their tenure there and getting the Super Bowl? Who's the most likely?
I can't hear him.
I can't understand.
Keith, bro, you're going to have to get a better phone.
You're going in and out. I can't understand a word you're saying.
I hate to do that to you, man. Try to get a better connection.
Call back.
We just couldn't understand a word. It just sounded like...
I think he was saying of the West Coast system coaches, like Vance Johnson in Denver, like Shanahan in San Francisco. And then I don't know if he was trying to say who's the best of that bunch, because I don't know how that translates, or if that's just an NFL question separate from what the discussion we were having on the Aggies.
Okay.
That was just my interpret. I had my decoder ring on, so I gave it a shot.
Okay, yeah, that's not bad. I was interested to look at recruiting classes. Mm-hmm. And here's the other gripe I have about A&M recruiting and the recruiting classes. So I'm on 24/7 Sports, and they have rankings, all right? So 2017, Florida State, I'll give you an example, ranked sixth according to this ranking for 2017 in football. Texas A&M 13th. So the difference in the two was they had A&M had a rating of 248.5, Florida State 292.8. But where the difference in recruiting to me, and it goes back to my original point about naming stars and big-time talent on the teams, in that year, with a 13th-ranked recruiting class, A&M pulled in 0 5-star recruits. Florida State had 4. To me, the Aggies have always had a difficult time getting 5-star recruits to go to that school. They may get one or two.
Yeah,
Ricky Seals-Jones was huge for the Aggies. Aggie fans, everybody was going crazy.
We had him on the air too.
They got Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yep.
That was a big deal because it was a 5-star recruit, man. They finally started getting 5-star recruits, and they've had a couple, but Alabama had 6, Ohio State 5, Florida State 4. And to me, that's part of the problem is anybody can get a lot of 3s and 4s and build that number.
Well, I got to believe Gunnell's a 5,
build your ranking up. Oh, yeah.
Okay, and if is the kid from Manville a 4 at the worst? But I would say he's probably a five. So someone had 2 5s coming for next year, and the year after.
Well, I'm not saying he didn't get 5s, but getting 2 every 3 or 4 years is a lot different than getting 4 or 5 every year. And if you're in the state of Texas and you're one of the better teams and you're a hell of a recruiter and you have the facilities and the money and the stadium and the fans that the Aggies have, you should have more than 0 5-star recruits or 1 or 2 every 2 or 3 years. So,
okay.
But I mean, we'll see. Can Jimbo Fisher do that in Texas? We know he can do it in Florida because he got 4 of them last year. All right, guys, Gulf State homebuyers, that is what I want you to pay attention to right now. 281-717-6100 is their phone number. Here's why Gulf State homebuyers is important to you. a lot of the houses in our area were affected by Hurricane Harvey. A lot of flooding, a lot of damage from the storms. And so now you're looking at a repair bill, and maybe you're fighting with FEMA right now, trying to figure out how you're going to get the money to fix your house up again. But what you don't have is the other end of that equation, which is how much cash could you get for your house just straight up and be able to move to an area that doesn't flood or be able to not have to go through the hassle of rebuilding it from scratch. That's why I want you to call Gulf State Homebuyers. They're going to come out and give you a no-obligation, free, cash offer evaluation of your home. They're going to tell you exactly what it's worth. 281-717-6100. Make that call. Get them out there. Let them look around. Let them give you the price. You're under no obligation, so what does it hurt? If you don't like what they give you, you don't have to use it. You go back to fixing it up and getting the drywall and waiting and hoping the contractor crew show up and doing all that. But if you just want to get out, you can take that cash offer and move on. 281-717-6100, that's Gulf State Homebuyers. When you're dealing with them, it's the Distinction Award winner for 2016 and 2017 from the Better Business Bureau. So you know you're dealing with a good company. Their in-house staff is second to none. They've got attorneys and title companies and everything you need to get the transaction done from start to finish. And the best part is they take care of it all. So you're not sitting there having to chase down the title company and chase down this and chase down that. They do it all for you. All you do, you call them once, they come out, they take care of everything, you get that cash, and you move on. 281-717-6100. Give them a call. For more information, look them on the website, GulfStateHomeBuyers.com. The folks at Gulf State, they're there for you. And together, we will keep Houston strong.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, boy, man. Hey, man, is there any Mexicans in New Orleans? A couple, two of them? All right, three? All right. There's three of us. That's cool. In case anything happens tonight, you're on my team. I mean, there's only three of us right now. I know that, but I'm sure you know where there's 200 or 300 other Mexicans nearby. They're probably all living in the same place. It's okay, man. White people hate that, man. We all live together.
Hey, Juan, how come there's like 90 Mexicans in one apartment?
I'm like, because we pay $40 a month each.
FEF Friday means funny. Juan Villarreal, our comedian of the day on Friday, bringing you some funny stuff. Barry's already kind of giving you the backstory. We're giving you excerpts of some of his best stuff. But as Barry said, he makes his way in and out of the Houston area, so hopefully you can catch him at some point.
Yeah, 11 times he appeared on BET's Comic View, the most of any comic in the nation. I named some of the folks that he had worked with, Steve Harvey, Carlos Mencia. He did quite a lot of touring with Carlos Mencia, as a matter of fact. So, yep. One of the bigger names to come out of Houston's comedy scene. And like I said, and I'm not just saying that, maybe the nicest guy in Houston comedy. Quite possibly. So, good dude.
I knew there had to be somebody. Well, Billy D's pretty darn good dude, too.
Yeah. But, I mean, even Billy will tell you, and I've seen him say as much online, there's not a nicer guy in
the
biz.
That's always good to hear. That at least it's not something where you enjoy the guy, then you find out they're true a-hole, and instead you find out they're good guys. It makes you like him even more.
Yeah. By the way, I was looking up the recruiting classes because I was kind of interested because we were talking about that. So the guys that we were talking about, Gunnell and Preston was his name, the wide receiver.
Jalen Preston.
Yeah, Jalen Preston. Four-star recruits. So that will make it since 2015 since they've had a five-star recruit. And that year, it was Daylon Mack and Christian Kirk. And Kyler Murray was a five-star recruit, but he left, if you recall. So they've two in the last two-plus years, three years.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is you're not going to be Alabama overnight, and at least someone's recruiting got them on the map and in the discussion to be first choice in a lot of places where they were losing really, really badly before he got there.
I do agree with that. I mean, it was ugly, and they needed help, and they got better recruiting wise.
I will say this too: resources help, because I was watching one of those, you know, early in the season when they had the best teams in other states playing each other in high school games, and there happened to be two teams playing in Texas, and I want to say at least one of them, if not both of them, were from Texas, right? But they had five-star recruits or top recruits on each team, and Sumlin dropped in a helicopter.
Yep, the swag copter, yeah.
Yeah, that they cleared space for so that he could make it there after practice and still see these kids so he could get them both to go to A&M. It's like, well, you're not shy on resources there. U of H ain't going to give you no helicopter, are they, Nick?
Hell no.
That's what I thought. They're going to give you a bus ticket or give you a Uber receipt that they'll expense for you.
Yep.
But yeah, he had all the resources in the world. That's like when you were talking about facilities, resources, everything's there.
Yes. There's no reason you shouldn't be successful at A&M.
Let me ask you this, because we both got this. Dr. Runberg on Twitter says, not trying to troll, but do you think the culture at A&M has anything to do with recruits leaving? And I'm not quite sure what he means by that, because it's what, in the middle of the
Manziel thing, maybe?
I don't know. Is it the Manziel thing? Is it the culture? Because College Station's in the middle of nowhere, and it's known as a farming school. I don't know what he's trying to get at there, but... Or is it the culture in the locker room? Because we said, regardless of what, Kevin Sumlin's name's on it because he's the head coach, but he's obviously hired some of the wrong guys as position coaches, because that's why some of the reasons given why some of the receivers and quarterbacks and other players have left.
I guess I'm just assuming the culture, because that's basically the biggest thing that was mentioned since Manziel's departure from the program.
Right. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm going to assume is you met the culture inside the locker room and on that team and among the quote-unquote star players, because that's what basically that means. If you're wondering, well, why, because we've mentioned it on this show several times about the culture in the locker room and how it changed, and that's why people were leaving. What it basically meant is preferential treatment and stars like Johnny Manziel not having to do what the rest of the team has to do. And I can tell you that this goes back further than Johnny Manziel at A&M. And I imagine that it's like that on most campuses. Let's be real. When you're the star quarterback, you get treated a lot differently. But I think, you know, like when it comes to classes and so forth, because my sister went to A&M and she can recall seeing football players, big time football players, quarterbacks and running backs that were nationally prominent, like leaving the gym, smoking weed and not having to go to class and do all those things. It happens, and it's going to happen on most campuses. But when you get inside that locker room and it's that team and that tight knit unit, and it's still occurring, you start to alienate the rest of the team. And that's the rumblings of what happened with Manziel and Sumlin at A&M.
And to your point that we were talking about in terms of the length of the contract with Jimbo Fisher, and is it too long, and we mentioned Sumlin's buyout. How about this? Arkansas now is forced to pay Brett Bielema $11.8 million to buy him out of the last couple of years of his deal.
That's a lot.
You don't want those big tickets hanging around in dead money when you're trying to bring in another
big name. I just want one college football contract. I don't care if the team sucks.
Right.
I just want the guaranteed contract.
I just see you running it like you run your fantasy football rosters. Yeah. And I see it being just a championship caliber program.
Put the running back out there for quarterback.
Nick,
you run the quarterback
here
position?
At Houston Community College, three wins is not acceptable. You're like, well, it was good for us in the Usual Suspects Fantasy League. I don't see why it wouldn't be good for y'all, because we are the Fighting Books or whatever the Houston Community College is. I don't know what their mascot is.
I don't either. I
figure it's a book, maybe. I don't know. We're the
Fighting Books.
I don't know what they are.
Go fighting textbooks.
That's just not acceptable for
us. Rumbling protractors.
Yeah.
But, Nick, here's the thing, though. But they're going to tell you, yes, Nick, you're really not doing it the way we want you to do it, but you still get to collect the remaining 2 years and $10 million on your deal. Bye.
I really want a college football analyst to really tell me why they could. Because we say this every time a coach gets a big contract, and yet big programs still continue to give guaranteed contracts, and they still owe the previous coach money too. Like, there's got to be. I mean, where was the leverage for Jimbo Fisher if he resigned from FSU?
I mean, told you though, he's leaving a program where he has won a national championship and he's had a team of national prominence.
And that's the leverage.
So no, his leverage is if you really want him to leave a program where he's established, he's won it all, he wins consistently, and he recruits well, then you're going to have to pay. And from an A&M perspective, you're saying if you really want to walk the talk, because we talk like we should be competing for national championships, then you're going to have to open up your pocketbook to pay to get a guy that says he can take you there.
I guess. You see that over and over again. And even to names that are not like Jimbo Fisher, who don't have the resume of Jimbo Fisher, someone got. Look at the contract he got.
Well, look,
because of
Charlie
what he did
Strong.
At U of H.
Charlie Strong, Houston when you get, when sometimes you're just the hot coach. Like, Scott Frost is going to get paid. Wherever he ends up, regardless of how good he's been or what his resume looks like, because of the year he's having this year, because he's a hot young name right now, he's going to get paid.
Yeah. Herman was like that. Scott Frost is basically this year's Tom Herman,
yes,
basically.
Exactly right.
So, Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. But I just can't believe the money that's in college football. I guess I'm just mad that I'm not getting it.
You know what it is, though, Nick? It's not just the school itself, because a lot of times the school has limitations. But the boosters come up, and a lot of these alums and boosters are, you know, billionaires, millionaires, and they're just throwing it at, you know, they want to be involved, say that, you know, maybe they never played sports, but this is their way to stay involved. They just throw money at
it.
Yeah,
they want to be a part of the success.
They have a say-so.
For sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's why the lawyer in River Oaks had such a big say about Kevin Sumlin, because he put so much money into the program, he feels like he's a part of it. That's the way it goes. All right, KJ, Chuck, we see you. We're coming to you next. We'll get to you. And then, of course, 345 means Nick Picks, and it's a big weekend this weekend because college football has all the conference championship games. Those will decide a lot of what's going to happen in the Final Four, as well as NFL Picks, too. That, and then we'll wrap up the show. Turn it all over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, and head on off to the weekend. We hope you take it through them until you get home to where you need to be, right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the FEF Friday as we continue to roll on. You guys have been patiently waiting, so let's get you in here. Our topic the last couple of segments has been this A&M move to get Jimbo Fisher. KJ, you want to get in here first. What's up, man?
What's up, fellas?
How's it going?
Doing good. The one thing I want to say is I consider and feel I know that Coach Sumlin is a friend of mine since he was at U of H, you know, and because many times after games or big wins they have, I always text him and, you know, tell him good win and during the holidays, whatever, and he replies. But regardless, so all you A&M people, I know y'all don't care about him no more, but this is just my viewpoint of it that I saw firsthand, that he walked into U of H and he had Case, and Case had to fight Blake Joseph to figure out who was gonna be the starter back in the day. End up being Case. They took him, you know, they obviously went 13-1, lost Mississippi State that year. I mean, Southern Miss that year, which was big. Then he left, went to A&M. He walked into Johnny Manziel. Look at and after Johnny, if you go through down the line, you can see all the big time recruiting quarterbacks that he got: Kenny Hill, he got Kyler Murray, he got Kyle Allen. They didn't work out. Even when he was here, he had a guy named Broadway from Baton Rouge that was a big recruit. He didn't work out. Well, then I also look at guys that he had on his staff. Trevor Knight came from Oklahoma. I don't know, well, you know that. But then you look at Kirk up in Texas Tech. Baker Mayfield came from Texas Tech. Those are all the same people. You go to in West Virginia where Dana Holson is, he recruited a lot of quarterbacks big time. They end up transferring. I don't know what happened between the time that they recruit the guys and the time that they get them on campus and when it's time to play. But a bunch of that quarterback end up leaving and going somewhere else. And it's just ironic to me that all four of those different schools, which is Oklahoma, West Virginia, Texas Tech, and A&M, they all come from the same coaching tree, which is under Bob Stoops, but they all have the same type of and leech up, but they all have the same situation with the quarterback end up not staying. Well, we all know the quarterback is the biggest part of what makes a college team successful, and if you can't get one that does what you think he's going to do, you know, Kyler Murray, his dad went to A&M, and for him to leave, none of us know, and that's the key. We don't know what it is that's causing this, you know, this disconnect when the kids get on campus.
KJ, you make some great points, and we appreciate the call. Part of the problem, to your point, though, is when you get guys, like Knight was a transfer because he's lost his job to Baker Mayfield.
Correct.
It wasn't any issues inside. Remember, you had kids like changing their Remember the recruits that they lost because the A&M guy said something on Twitter?
I was going to say, and he got the receivers. Nasty. Take the quarterbacks
this
out of the
is,
mix.
This, but those guys, those quarterbacks that he named left, not because of playing time, because they all three wouldn't have left because no one was scared Jake Kubiak that they couldn't take the job from him. It wasn't that the playing time, which is the Baker Mayfield and Trevor Knight thing. That was a playing time
right.
thing.
At A&M, and it was more than just
a quarterback.
It was a
culture thing
there.
It
was a culture thing, and the thing is like I said, even if Kevin Sumlin can't specifically coach each one of these kids and or mentor them and be there for him, the staff that he has hired is under his tutelage, which means it's on his name. The blueprint is stamped with his signature, and so he's responsible.
And there was that whole mess where
the receivers coach was the one with the Twitter.
Plus, is
and
the
all
quarterback
that.
Position yeah. the most important position in college football? I mean, if you can just run the ball and have a good defense,
no, quarterbacks are pretty important.
They're important in those offenses, but I think A&M gets this. Kevin Sumlin and that A&M offense. That's always been a run-oriented offense. It doesn't feel that way.
But it is in college football.
I know,
though.
But you ask, but you look at Texas Tech and the air raid offense, and that wasn't necessarily what A&M was trying to be. Was it a spread offense? Yeah, but you can be a run-oriented team from the spread offense, which is what A&M tried to focus on. It's also why they had a tough year last year, and they were recommitted to the run, but they were trying to open up the passing game a little bit more, but they just didn't have the resources to do it.
Or you could be Wisconsin, Nick, then the quarterback isn't a very important position. You can just run it right up the gut every time. It's just the way it goes. All right, so we got one more on A&M to get into. Chuck, you want to get in here? What's up, my man?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
How you doing, brother?
How y'all doing?
Good,
all
man.
Good.
What's
good
up?
To hear from you.
Oh, man. Not much, man. I just wanted to say, man, I'd like to thank KJ for that dissertation on Kevin Sumlin. But here's the thing. Kevin Sumlin was a fine coach. They did really good by getting Jimbo Fisher because after Sweeney, Dabo Sweeney, Saban, and Urban Meyer, he's probably at the top of the list. I'm not really sold on him, but he does give you now a footprint in Florida. And Florida is probably the second biggest state besides Texas in high school recruiting. So I believe they're going to actually get a little better recruits. And if they keep Chavis, which I don't know if that's happening, they will get more of his type of players because Florida State is still known for putting out good NFL defensive players. Guys, y'all have peace and good day.
Appreciate the
call,
Chuck.
Have a good weekend, Chuck.
You know, it's funny because you can expect there to be some almost musical chairs of players.
I'm going to let you know. Chavis is the one that I would be like, we'll see. But I'm just telling you right now, in my estimation, Jimbo will bring the majority, if not all, of his entire staff. Because these are the guys he wants to get paid.
Don't forget, too, though, if he leaves and they have to pay them because they cut them, I think he's responsible for paying their salaries. He's got to pay a certain amount of those assistant coaches' salaries too.
It depends on how the
so yeah,
the
he's
going to
be bringing
the contract.
Well, but no, I got to find the article, but there was I'm pretty sure I read something like up to $6 million is what he's responsible for, or something $600,000. I don't remember what the number was. There's a lot of money that he has to be responsible for his assistant coaches. So, I would plan on him bringing it. And I don't know why he would want anyone else's. And Chavis, to me, I just don't know that, he's not a guy. You ask LSU guys, LSU alums, LSU football fans.
Oh, they love Dave Aranda.
They hated Chavis.
Yeah, they got Aranda from Wisconsin, and they love him as a
D-coordinator. And having watched the Aggies the last couple years, I kind of see why they didn't like him too much. He's not that
good. Mazzoni's the guy that you got to wonder about because because he may have something to do with getting some of these recruits to stay. But the fact of the matter is, as we've talked about many times on the show, Jimbo Fisher's an offensive guy. He's a former offensive coordinator. He's going to run his offense his way. So there might be a clash of personalities there.
But back to my point about the musical chairs, you're right. You hope maybe those guys, if they stay, can do some good. But I fully expect some of the commits to A&M to leave and follow Sumlin.
Sure.
Or to go to other schools, but I also expect the same thing to happen at Florida State. Remember that list I gave you of the 4 5-star recruits that committed to Florida State. Yeah, you don't think they don't want to follow Jimbo Fisher to A&M as well?
3 Florida State recruits decommitted last night.
Yep.
So they're open for the game, and the game I'm sure will include Texas A&M now.
And I promise you, man, you get some of those cats to Kyle Field when it's full.
And the practice facilities, the players-only facilities. Yeah. Here's the other thing, too, that, you know, to Chuck's point, when you're talking about all of this, I don't know that living in Texas, you kind of get the idea Texas is the hotbed of all recruiting. But when you look at Florida and you look at how many five stars and how many guys that end up playing not only great on the collegiate level but playing on Sundays, Florida's tough to argue with being number one.
I still think – I mean, his. I think he was saying that Texas and Florida were the top two.
Yeah, because he said yeah, Florida – he just said Florida would be number two to Texas in recruiting. I think, obviously, the top three are Florida, Texas, and
California.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Well, we got one segment to go. We got all the calls out of the way because the time you've all been waiting for, because we only pick the favorites. We're going to do Nick picks again, and we've got lots of conference championships to get to in the college ranks and, of course, some NFL games, including your Houston Texans. We'll get that, and then we'll get out of here and get out of the way so that Fred, AJ, and the real prognosticators of football can get in here on the Blitz. They finish you up till 7. We'll take you till 4. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Voted number one show on ESPN.
I think you did that one just so that the guys hear it on their way in.
Yeah, I think they're in the building. So I want well, there'll be one on the way out, too.
I like the way you think, Nicholas. I like the way you think. I saw a post this morning on Facebook, and it was a comedian friend of mine named Jaffer Khan, and he's really funny, but this wasn't funny. He just posted an article to a report on Fox News, and all it said was, "Way to go, Pearland." And the headline on the article is, "Muslim special needs student's father says teacher call police on boy." She basically... This kid, it says, the father, Mahir, said Muhammad was born with Down syndrome, chromosome 21. He's 6 years old, and he can't speak. So the kid can't speak at all. His regular teacher was out, so there was a substitute teacher who turned him in. She claimed that he was a terrorist because he said Allah and bomb, bomb, bomb. Or, excuse me, boom, boom, boom. So she calls the police, and she stirs up all this stuff and has the kid turned in as a terrorist. A dummy. 6 year old with Down syndrome.
He said he can't speak.
And the dad was like, they were like, "Oh yeah, he can talk." The school district or whatever, the substitute teacher was like, "Yeah, he can form complete sentences." Dad's like, "No, he can't. He can't talk at all. He's never spoken." And so it's just to me, it's like, all right, this is that whole, well, you pointed your, you made a gun with a finger. It's just getting ridiculous. Can people just use a little bit of common sense?
Common sense.
A 6 year old with Down syndrome, and we're going to label this kid a terrorist, and not just do that, but put his family through 4 weeks of hell. CPS is out there, so Child Protective Services is going out there. The cops.
I wonder how long it took her for her to realize, oops, I just stunk up the joint for no reason.
I don't
know,
but she should never be allowed to be a substitute teacher again. What a dumbass.
Teacher, period. You want this woman around your children making accusations, false accusations?
Oh, I mean, when I read the story, I was just like, oh, my God, you can't be serious. And then the dad, Mahir, was like, yeah, the last 3 to 4 weeks have been really hard on my life. My wife, my kids, they're crying all the time. I keep telling them everything's fine. And for all the crap that I give Quinnell X, this isn't a black family, but so credit to him for stepping forward. And he said, in my opinion, based on everything I've heard from the police department and speaking with the administration from the school, this was a story piecemealed together by a substitute teacher alleging this child was sexually harassing her, the teacher, and possibly being a terrorist. So not only did she say he was a terrorist.
It's ridiculous.
She said that a 6-year-old with Down syndrome was sexually harassing her. Lady, you're a dumbass. I was just infuriated by this story.
You would think there's some sort of red flags when she decided to apply or take whatever approach it is that you have to take to become a substitute teacher, that there was a few red flags.
There's got to be something.
And there was some sort of indicator that told you she wasn't qualified for the job, but whatever.
I guess not. But even when you watch the story, because they have a video on their website and they show the kid, you can tell there's something not right with the kid. Just, God, lady, What a dumbass. I don't know.
This is a topic for another show, too. But I've heard from people that have said, because I always thought Quantel just came out as a good Samaritan to help people. But I've heard from people that he actually charges.
He does.
Really?
Yep. I've heard the same exact thing, and I've heard it's a grip.
Yeah.
Like, he really? Gets paid.
He doesn't have that much of a following.
If he doesn't get it, like, he's coming back.
Yeah. No, he gets
paid. Yeah, that was shocking to me. I always thought he was just doing it to
it's
be a
almost
good Samaritan
like when you're getting him,
activist.
It's almost like you're hiring a publicist. It's what you're doing. Which I'm looking into a publicist, right, for comedy and stuff like that to help promote my brand. But that's basically what Quinnell X is a publicist.
Yeah, I wouldn't aware of
that. I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. I've heard that. I mean, I don't have any concrete evidence
to prove it, but you've heard it.
I've heard people that have been involved with him that
have
said that.
Paid. Yeah, he drives fancy cars. I mean, we're talking.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think he had like a Denali, like the suburban style Denali in fancy.
Not a fan of his suits, though.
Or no. It was the Cadillac version, whatever that is.
Escalade?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that's, you know, I just threw it out there when you mentioned his name. Let me lighten it up a little bit, but yet not. I had this story for you guys real quick before we get to the picks. But there's a woman that posted an x-ray where you can't even see her intestines or any of her major organs. And they did a couple of checks to figure out why. And you guys aren't going to believe this. I kind of mentioned to you in the break, but it's actually true. She has a condition. She says, my x-ray, the whole thing is a picture of facial loading. You can't see my organs because, yes, it's all in my chest, too. My diaphragm, my lungs, so high up so I can hardly breathe. I am drowning in my own poop.
That's gross. I bet her breath stinks.
Exactly. She had surgery in which they did not properly reconnect and stitch up from her bowels.
Her boo-boo trail.
Yeah, exactly right. And because of it, and this x-ray is just, I don't know if you looked at it or not, but it is downright nasty to the point where she says she actually regurgitates her own poop.
First person to text me a she's full of bleep text is getting blocked. We're not going to allow these cheap, lazy, easy jokes, guys. I'm not going to allow it.
She said,
don't do
she
it.
Spent
Stop. Like, I bet you there's like 9 people that just halfway through their text just started deleting them. Damn it.
She's 34. She spent the last 11 weeks in a hospital vomiting from poop after she claims a surgeon damaged her bowels during a routine surgery. Now she needs a GoFundMe account to try and get it done because insurance won't cover it. That's crappy.
See?
I just did that for you. Okay, Nick, let's get to the
pun intended.
All right, we'll get to these pretty quickly, and we'll start in college football. Let's start with the Big 12, TCU, Oklahoma -7. Who do you got?
I got Oklahoma, but I think it's going to be a game. For some reason, I think it's going to be a game, but I'll take Oklahoma.
Do you? What'd you say the line was? Seven?
-7 for Oklahoma. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going OU on that. I mean, I don't know that I would give up 7, but I definitely have OU winning the game.
But if TCU wins, do you give up a Big 12 representative? I know that's a discussion for another segment, but...
TCU wins, the Big 12 isn't going to have a representative in the playoffs.
All right, Ohio State. Let's go to Big 10.
Who'd you pick?
I picked Oklahoma for sure. Yeah, Ohio State and Wisconsin +6 for Wisconsin, Joel.
I know where he's doing.
I keep telling you, and I'm going to say it again because I said it's going to happen on exactly this game, on exactly this occasion. Ohio State beats Wisconsin, and I say easily.
Okay.
I got Ohio State.
You say easily. The spread is 6. That's not easy.
More than that.
All right, I'm going to go OSU as well, though.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ohio State as well.
Okay.
ACC championship game, Miami -7, Clemson -1, -9 for Clemson. This is Saturday night at
9.
7 o'clock.
The biggest spread.
It's a 9.
The biggest spread of the four, but I'll tell you, I think Miami has a chance to beat Clemson.
I do not. Okay. I will take Clemson.
I'm not picking Clemson.
Okay.
I mean Miami, but I do think that they have a chance to beat them.
Write that down, Barry. You did not pick Clemson. You're picking Miami.
Nope, I put Clemson because that's my choice.
It's probably
Clemson
the most likely upset, right? Or maybe the TCU game.
I don't think
I would say Miami versus Clemson could be, yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I think Georgia's got a shot against Auburn.
But that's only a point and a half, so that's not an upset.
They're still underdogs.
But the biggest spread is Miami-Clemson, so I would say that okay.
All right, the SEC championship game, -6 Georgia versus -2 Auburn, -1.5. Pick'em game.
I'll take Auburn.
You're taking Auburn as well, aren't you?
No, I'm picking Georgia.
Are you really?
I am.
See, damn it, I was trying to get some separator on you guys. I don't want to pick like that because
I don't want to see Auburn in the
college. Auburn's a hot team right now.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying. I just don't want to see them in the college football playoff. I just don't.
Of the four, if I was trying to pick where I, you know, a separator pick, it would be this game, and I would have gone with Georgia if you would have gone with Auburn, Nick. But since you're going Georgia, I'm going to pick who I think will actually win the game, which is Auburn.
All right, so we got college out of the way. We got to roll through NFL real quick.
All right, NFL real quick. Minnesota at Atlanta, -3 for Atlanta. They're the favorite at home.
I'll take them at home.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
I got the Vikings.
Okay.
Me too. I got the Vikings as well. I actually think this is a good game. I'm not a better, but I think I would bet on this game. Falcons being favored. I think the Vikings can win this on the road.
Okay.
Next game real quick. Let's do Panthers and Saints. Saints -4.5. Both teams are 8-3. 8-3 Sunday at 4:25.
All right. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah. Saints at home. I'll take the Saints.
Okay, Nick.
Saints at home for sure.
Okay. I'll take.
Go ahead.
I'll take the Saints, but it doesn't help my prediction. But I don't like the way the Panthers looked last week against the Jets. Otherwise, I would take them.
All right.
Yeah, I'm picking the Saints. Let's move on to Eagles, Seahawks. Seahawks are at home, but +5.5. I never picked it against the Seahawks at home, but I'll just get my pick out of the way. I'm picking Eagles. I think they're the hot team.
I'm going to take the Eagles as well.
I'm taking Seattle.
Okay.
I know that's a crazy mix.
No, it's not crazy at all.
Philly's got to lose at some point, and I think going on the road, Russell Wilson's playing well. The offense, they're getting a little bit healthier.
It's a tough place to play.
Yeah, they get Jokel back now. They've got their offensive line the way they want it. So,
real quick, Steelers at Bengals. I got Steelers.
I've got Steelers +5 for the Bengals at home.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's taking the Bengals.
Yeah, you got Steelers. Let's still roll in the last one. Texans at Titans. Titans giving 6.5 to the Texans. They can give all they want. Take the Titans.
Yep. Titans. Right?
Titans, yep.
All right, another good week in the books for all of us and all of you. We appreciate you being a part of the show. We're going to turn over to Fred, AJ, The Blitz, and they're going to take you home till 7 o'clock. You guys have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday, 1 to 4, every weekday right here on ESPN 97.5.
Voted number one show on ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.